Monday, March the 9th. This morning at 10, I met with Liz, Bess, and Angie Duke to discuss the coming foreign chiefs of state's visits. The Jordanians, the Israeli, four or five prospective others, ranging from state visits to working visits. King Hassan of Jordan is the first, coming in April. In reviewing those we've had and planning for the future, we decided that dancing would be good for those groups where we had spoke the same language, had the same sort of music, and did the same dances. But that would be a total flop if there was a serious language barrier. That entertainment was a great help in where there was a difficult to bridge gap of language and background that might result in vast silences. And that although stag working luncheons were good enough, a stag working dinner would be rather deadly, and it would be much gayer to have men and women and pretty clothes and entertainment at night. Then I had a session of work with a sandwich at the desk, and then at 2 o'clock, tea with Mr. Boudin, the celebrated French decorator who had worked on the White House with Mrs. Kennedy. He was quite impressive, rather professionally charming, I thought, elderly, French to his fingertips. Mr. West sat with us. He told us about the fabric that had been selected by Mrs. Kennedy early last fall for drapes for the East Room. Mr. West confirmed that the present drapes were wearing out badly and would have to be replaced soon. It appears that everything had been planned previous to November 22nd, but that the fabric had to be woven to order. The first full-length panel will be available in about 2 weeks, and he promised to send it over to me to look at. It's a fait accompli, and I can only hope that there's enough money in the treasury of the Historical Association to pay for it. It looks like this will be the first order of business when the new committee for the preservation of the White House has its meeting. Mr. Boudin had done the elms for Mrs. Mester, and we talked about the lovely rose fabric on the walls of the large salon. He told me the name of a famous French chateau where the identical fabric was used and suggested the possibility that they might need some more of it. And here's one of the times when I wish I were a real salesman, because there is certainly some available for a good price out there on the wall at the Elms. I let him know it might be had, but I'm not enough of a salesman to make him drool at the prospect of getting it. At 4 o'clock, we had one of the concerts for young people. This time, it was half the children of members of Congress, ranging from 13 to 20 years old, plus a group of 40 students from Foxcroft School in Middleburg, who had just finished going through on a special tour. One of whom, incidentally, was Susan Engelhard, the daughter of the Charles Engelhards of New Jersey. The entertainment was Charlie Bird, who plays on his guitar everything from jazz to Bach. I entered the blue room after everybody was seated and introduced Charlie and his group. We had 30 minutes of good music of remarkable range and variety, my favorite being a Duke Ellington medley. There was an attractive program in each chair for the child to take home as a souvenir, and then Linda, Lucy and I went to the blue room and shook hands with everybody. A lot of the children I had known for ages and watched them grow up. Lissy Grant, the Carl Albert smart little daughter. Two Talmadges who had come all the way from school in Georgia for this. And Barry Goldwater's pretty blonde daughter who had followed Linda Bird as queen of the Azalea Festival. I regretted that I hadn't been foresighted enough to ask all the cabinet children of similar age to come down and serve as assistant hosts and hostesses. The children filed on into the state dining room for punch and cookies, and I made my exit. Linda and Lucy had to leave too soon because they would have been good at mixing with the youngsters, but they must have a picture made with their daddy for a story for life. And then he corralled them into making a little speech to a voting registration group from New York State that were in his office. In preparation for my trip to Greece, Mr. Jernigan of the State Department and Angie Duke came up about 6:30 for a drink and a discussion of the Cyprus situation. So I'll know a bit about what I face when I get to Greece. It seems the general idea of the Greeks is, if you're not for us, you're against us. And nothing less than coming out on their side will really satisfy them. It's the age-old problem of minority groups, 80% Greeks, 20% Turks, trying to live on the island of Cyprus. Mutual distrust, fear, hatred that's being whipped into a froth and assuming the proportions of a powder keg. All of which makes me wonder, one more time, how the world can look at the United States and belabor us for the way we handle our minority problems. It seems that we handle them with more conscience, with more hope, with more effort to do right by minority groups than just about anybody in the world.